Happy New Year to all of you. Well, as we enter into another new year, we look forward with much hope and anticipation to the new year and to new beginnings. And personally, for me, it's been quite a treat over the past few days to, you know, read and hear and just absorb the optimism, the energy that comes with the new year through a conversation with friends and family. And it's just the feeling of excitement and positivity for the new year, not just in a small way, but I think globally in the whole world, there's a general anticipation for what this year is going to bring for us compared to last year. And so indeed, we all wait expectantly for to experience afresh the mercies and the faithfulness of our God, and to experience the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the abiding presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our families. So we extend our best wishes and our blessings to you and your family as well. Well, with the new year, we have also a new theme for ICTIS Fellowship, and I'm just going to share a few slides for us, hoping that it'll help us in grasping the message. It's really a new focus for the year, primarily for our services, but really in our focus for the sermons and the services ahead of us. And in some ways, the theme flows from the theme of the previous years. Last year was, if you remember, it was mission, the mission of your life. And in a way, it flows from the theme as well. And so this year, the theme is living from heavenly perspective. So I will return to the theme later towards the end of the message, but this is the theme for this year. But today's reflection hopefully will function as some kind of a transition from where we left off last Sunday, and which was last year we actually looked at mission in the Old Testament, mission in the book of Acts, and finally in the life of Jesus. And we stopped from there and looked at Christmas as well. So today and last Sunday and today as well, it's a continuation on the ascension of Jesus and the moment in which the resurrected Jesus Christ was lifted up from earth to heaven, and he was taken up into heaven. And it's not stated specifically in Acts chapter 1, but in other passages like Philippians chapter 2 and Hebrews, elsewhere in Hebrews, the Bible tells us that this was the moment when God lifted and raised Jesus to the highest place as the Lord of creation. So shall we just go ahead and read the text for us for this morning's meditation, which is from Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 11. So it's displayed here, and I'm going to read and invite you to follow along. Acts chapter 1, verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid them from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So this is the story, the the way the ascension of Jesus played out. If I were to present the main statement of the message today, it would be this, that Jesus has been ascended as Lord of all, and he sent us his Spirit to be with us and to empower us to be his witnesses. And I think that this moment is a transition that connects all the stories of God's mission in the Bible and us. So that's the connecting point between us and all that goes on in the Bible. So I just want to spend a few minutes considering the implications of Jesus' ascension. That Jesus left, Jesus went, ascended up to heaven. What is the implication? And I want to suggest at least two things, two implications. And one of the things that I've realized in the past few years is that other aspects of Jesus' life, such as his birth, his death, we spend considerable time thinking about. Like, we spend considerable time talking about the implications, the meaning of why Jesus died, why Jesus was born as a human being, how is it important that Jesus is a human being, that he was resurrected as in a physical body, he ate with sinners. But at least in my experience, I found that we don't really talk about why Jesus left. Why did Jesus leave? And what is the implication of that? And I want to suggest that there are at least two things that are implications of the ascension of Jesus. And the first one is this. The ascension of Jesus establishes a new relationship. And the second one, which I'll come to later, is that the ascension of Jesus establishes a new calling. But firstly, a new relationship. In what sense does this establish a new relationship? If you think about the actual way that the ascension of Jesus played out, the manner of his departure, that he was taken up into heaven, ascended, as the Bible tells us. I think I mentioned this last week as well. It should not be taken as a literal, as only a literal and physical dislocation. It's not just about spatial dislocation that he went up from point A to point B. The point is that Jesus was ascended. In other words, he was enthroned as Lord. He was taken into heaven as Lord. Not so much that he was taken away spatially, but he was ascended positionally as Lord. There's a new relationship that's established here, that Jesus is Lord of all. He's not just rabbi. He's not just a good teacher. He is being revealed as Lord. He's being revealed as one with God. And as I mentioned earlier in Philippians chapter 2, Hebrews, elsewhere in Hebrews, Jesus is said to be at the right hand of God, restored to the role of Lordship. So that's the first relationship that is established, or rather revealed, that Jesus is Lord. And also the other relationship that's established by Jesus' ascension is that he is with us. And this part is a bit ironic, because after Jesus was resurrected, whenever they would hang out, Jesus would tell his disciples, I will be with you. I will never leave you. I will be with you to the ends of the earth. And he promptly leaves, which is quite ironic, because he said he'll be with me and yet he leaves. And so I think how we understand that is that when Jesus was ascended, it doesn't mean that he left us. In fact, the irony is that by his leaving, he becomes truly indwelling with us. As I mentioned last week, he left and he sent us his Holy Spirit to be with us intimately, to be with us personally. So by leaving, he becomes truly indwelling with us and among us. By going away, he comes closer to us. We know that when Jesus was lived on this earth, before he was ascended, he was limited by his the physicality. There's only a few people. I guess if he wants to talk to thousands of people, he would need a mic or something. But now, because the Holy Spirit lives in each one of us, we all have the indwelling, the presence of the Spirit of God, and we have that intimacy with God. And so the new relationship that's established by Christ's ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit is that He is truly with us. His intimate presence in our life. So that's the first relationship. That's the first thing that's established by Jesus' ascension, is that He's enthroned as Lord and He is truly with us. The second thing that's established is a new calling for the disciples, a new calling for those who have put their faith in Him. Within this new relationship, we have a new calling. And by the way, this is the same calling for every person who puts their faith in Jesus, not just for those involved in quote-unquote full-time ministry and all that stuff. And that calling is to be witnesses, to be His witnesses specifically. If I may just spend a minute or two on Acts chapter 1 and what the disciples said. When the disciples gathered around Jesus, Luke tells us that they said to Jesus, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Are you at this time going to do what we hope you would do? Are you finally going to do that, which we have been hoping that you'll do?" And Jesus flips that around and says, "It's not for you to know, but you will," instead of putting the focus on Him, He puts the focus on them. "You will be my witnesses, and you will be my witnesses to Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." I just want to point out the inward focus of the disciples in this question. Are you going to take care of our kingdom now? Are you going to establish our kingdom, our earthly kingdom, or whatever kingdom? Are you going to take care of us now? And Jesus says, no, that's not for you to know. Your role is outward, to go out and to be witnesses. And so the new calling is that it's not so much an inward focus, but it's an outward calling to go and to be witnesses to the nations. So the inward focus to outward orientation. The second part, again, as I mentioned, the disciples asked Jesus, "Are you going to establish the kingdom at this point? Will you establish the kingdom at this point?" And Jesus tells them, no, you will be my witnesses. So there's a flip of, are you going to be the focus on Jesus? And that is flipped to, you will be my witnesses. The disciples are going to be taking on the baton of responsibility of mission to the nations. And what is this specific role? What is this specific responsibility? The role is to be witnesses to this statement that Jesus is Lord, to the proclamation that Jesus is Lord in this world. And we are empowered specifically for that role, to witness to Jesus that He is Lord. So the implication of the ascension is to establish this new calling on the believers to be witnesses. The baton, in a way, has been passed from Jesus to the disciples, to the believers, and to us through the Holy Spirit, to witness that Jesus is Lord to the nations around us. So that's at least two things that the ascension establishes. One is a relationship, a new relationship, and two is a new calling. I just want to spend a few minutes thinking about this word, Jesus is Lord. What does it mean to witness? If our role is to witness and proclaim that Jesus is Lord to the world, what does it mean to witness that Jesus is Lord? And I think of it this way. I think that the kingdom of God is a space or a place where the will of Jesus reigns, right? So His wisdom, His knowledge, His guidelines, His goodness, His peace, all these are in place. So in the kingdom of God, there is holiness, there's peace, there's justice, there's love, there's oneness, there's true humanity. And so when we say that Jesus is Lord of heaven, we are affirming that heaven is a place where all of this is true. And we also believe that one day earth will also be a place, just like heaven is, where Jesus is reigning. So that's why when we pray, just as Jesus taught His disciples to pray, and which we call the Lord's Supper, So when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Actually, that's a powerful statement of faith, because we are looking forward to a time and a situation one day when heaven, just as today heaven is a place of shalom, of healing, of harmony, we are believing that one day earth will also be that place, that way. So we look forward, in other words, to the end of viruses, to the end of diseases, to the end of warfare, of conflict, of sins, of enmity. And how can we be so sure of that? I think we can be sure of that because the men in white, dressed in white, as Acts chapter 1 says, probably angels, that is what they told the disciples. The disciples were looking at Jesus as he was being taken up, and they were probably amazed and confused. And the angels told them, why are you looking into the sky like this? The same way that Jesus was taken up before you, now he's going to come back one day. In other words, the same way that Jesus is enthroned in heaven, in the same way Jesus is coming back to be enthroned on earth as the Prince of Peace, as the Good Shepherd who will lead his flock with care. And until that day, we continue to pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And even as we pray, we don't just pray, we continue to participate in bringing that peace of that portion of Jesus' reign wherever we are placed. And we witness that Jesus, the Prince of Peace, the good friend, our good friend, is Lord. And we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to extend his kingdom to the ends of the earth, starting from our homes and starting from our offices. So to witness that Jesus is Lord means to proclaim and to demonstrate through our words, through our actions, through our life, to this hope that we have in Jesus. To tell people, yes, that there is peace and forgiveness in Christ, so that others also may come to experience that life in Christ. It also means to work to bring peace, to bring forgiveness, to work to bring healing through our vocation, through our works, through our jobs. I think all of that is what it means to be a witness to the Prince of Peace, to the Lord of Heaven. And so it is in this perspective that I think is what is meant by living from heavenly perspective. I think to live from heavenly perspective is this: to live, to work, to study, to build homes, to love one another, to experience things, all with the vision and the anticipation of Christ's good and perfect reign on earth as it is in heaven. And I might just remind you that the uncertainty of the future is, can I say, appeased, or at least set at peace, by the assurance that the men in white robes told the disciples in Acts chapter 1, that surely, just as Jesus ascended into the throne of heaven as Lord, he will return as just as he ascended, and he will come back and he'll fully ascend the throne on earth as well. So if Jesus is today alive and he is Lord in heaven and will one day return to earth, then how shall we live? I think that's the question. And I think the answer is that we live our lives from a heavenly perspective. We practice and we live in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we live according to the prayer that we are taught in, saying, may his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And through this, we declare that we are, that Jesus is Lord and we are his witnesses. So as we look forward to a new year, and with our eyes set on understanding and living this new relationship and this new calling, it is our prayer that the Spirit of God, who dwells in each one of us and who leads us into all truth, will draw us closer to Jesus Christ. And we want to live our lives with the right perspectives, and we trust that God will help us and empower us to do just that this year. So may God bless all of us and give us a blessed good year, 2021. Thank you. I pass the time back to Holam for singing.